B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walt it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos.
It's too good time, it's too good time, it's too good time, it's too good. Too good, too good. It's too good time, it's too good time, it's too good time, it's too good. Too good, too good, too good, too good.
I'm gonna be so hungover at work tomorrow, I'm not gonna do anything.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985. And it is Bruins opening night. We'll talk to DeBrusque and Marchand today. Marcus Smart as well. Billy Jaffe's going to be in studio. And then we'll all forget about the Bruins until after the Super Bowl, which is basically what happens.
It's nice having something on during the week.
Yeah.
I wasn't watching a ton of Red Sox do at the end of the season anyway, but I mean, I do like having something on in the evening.
Yeah, I hate winter with a passion, but I kind of like the fact that hockey's here.
Yeah. I mean, it seems so early. I mean, it seems like it just ended, but the fact that something is on the TV on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday, I'm all right with that.
All right. What is Bird doing is the question. Can you tell me what he was doing?
He has a show sheet. I think he may have been filling out some of the guests that we have already scheduled.
Okay, why?
Don't know. But the ringer was not on the phone.
Okay, what is the... What, does he always keep a show sheet?
He does. I try and have him, as we go along, what we talk about. Because sometimes Mike and I are doing other things, so try and keep track of, between the three of us, what's going on.
I could see at the beginning of the show it being of the utmost importance. If you're listening to the show, you could put it in while it's happening.
That's true. There's the challenge.
There is the challenge.
That is a challenge right there.
All right. Well, hey, listen, sometimes you got to kick things off. Chris DeRoy from, I believe it's DeRoy Designs.
Yeah, he does amazing artwork, and he's an independent artist. He's done a lot of stuff for the station, and is one of these dudes that is infuriatingly talented in the fact that if you ask him to draw something, he can do it within minutes.
Why is that infuriating?
Because he's so freaking talented and can do it so fast. Because it's something that I can't even imagine having that type of skill.
Well, he did what we requested. He did a bird thing where Bird's a clown. You can see that at Fred Toucher on Instagram. And then he did what I requested, which was like the Coppertone ad, mm-hmm, with young sickly Nicholas, who was found in a pile of his own feces in bed. I would imagine it was a pile or a puddle of his own feces by his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, he lied sick and dying, and the idea was the Coppertone ad, where the dog is biting at his bathing suit. And sure, there is a young sickly Nicholas looking at the drawing, is him looking at the camera, and the dog pulling at his underwear with a little surprise. You can see that at Toucher and Rich on Instagram.
And the dog is saying, oh, dear God, as it pulls down his pants. And then underneath it says chocolate rain. So I'm sitting waiting to get my hair cut yesterday, and one of the guys who owns the store comes and walks out. And just walks up to me and goes, what the hell is this? And shows me his phone. And it's that photo. I had tweeted it, I guess, like an hour earlier or so. And he had not heard the story about you know, why Nick was covered in poo.
Sure. Like, he had not heard the story. I've told it 100 times.
No, he knows that Nick obviously had the heart problem and was sick, but he didn't realize what the copper tone thing with the poo is. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's because he was covered in crap when they found him.
Yeah. And then, you know, like a and little, like he's silly, like a little coy, like, oh, no, the dog is pulling it.
And then Nick, I'll have you know, he started laughing so hard that all the other people cutting hair wanted to see the photo, too. And then some of the people who are getting their hair cut wanted to see it. So basically, you were a hit yesterday. He was just showing it to everyone, the picture of you, Nick, covered in duty.
Very scatological.
Mm-hmm.
Was Nicholas covered in duty.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so there you go. The Bruin season is starting tonight, and that will be exciting.
Are you going to go to opening night like you do every year?
I am.
The winning streak continues.
Well, I don't know, but I can't remember exact because it's the first game of the season. I'm not overly focused on what's going on. But I will tell you this is that, yes, it is the anniversary of the first time that I betted my wife, which was technically our first date. She could not resist, so she wanted to have sex immediately. And I still have the...
Ferraro bobblehead?
Yeah, Ray Ferraro bobblehead I'm supposed to keep. By the way, I have about 85 rich bobbleheads in my basement.
Yeah,
that
I've got
to bring.
I've got like a box, too, that I just haven't opened. They gave them to us when we had bobblehead night over at the Lowell Spinners.
Yeah, Rich wasn't there, so I have like a gross of rich bobbleheads that I'll have to bring in at one point.
Just tell people it's Ed Norton, because that's what it basically looks like.
Yeah, they were very flattering.
Yes, they were.
What
they
did for us. But yeah, that is the anniversary. I am going to opening night. And if I'm keeping up these 30 days, that will be interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
It's a Saturday night.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, and an anniversary of something. But I mean, you know, I don't know if it's going to be worth the getting bitched at.
So from what I'm hearing is that this is a situation where the Bruins have opening night in a week and a half, I think, or
9 days.
9 days. And then, you know, the Celtics are right around the corner with their preseason stuff
Sunday night.
But apparently the locker rooms aren't finished. You know, they've been doing like a ton of renovations. It looks like a bomb hit it. Like, I mean, there's just stuff everywhere and it almost looks like they haven't even started. So the construction people and I guess everything is on time. And
well,
it doesn't look like it.
It's interesting. We were talking to a member of the Celtics front office before we did all our interviews, Rich, the other day. And he said it's supposed to be done by the 6th. Today is the 3rd,
yeah,
and they have a home game this Sunday. So literally, they have like a 12-hour window here to make sure it's done on time.
And we were talking to someone who does a lot of the broadcasts here at the station, and he was saying that he was talking to one of the construction guys, and they're like, yeah, no, we're not, you know, just normal hours.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. But then again, haven't you ever seen that before where if you see a building that's breaking ground, it seems like it takes 2 years for anything to get done at the very beginning, and then the minute you see the first piece of plywood, it's up in like 2 weeks.
Actually, mm-hmm. I've never seen that. In fact, this studio...
Well, it happens all the time.
I'm not saying it doesn't. I just don't see it. Like, everything, especially in this city, seems to take forever to get going.
Yeah.
It seems there are snags all over the place. But I'm sure they'll get the locker rooms done. I guess the problem is the 9th floor is just wires and drywall. Like the 9th floor is not done. So there's much consternation in the media about where the media is going to sit. So if you're going, and I guess they added more seats. So it's becoming almost Fenway-esque in the amount of room that you're going to have.
Yeah, I know that the media people have not complained because they moved them to the sports deck, which are a million times better.
And I can tell you one thing. They ain't going to be in the sports deck because they're in the regular season.
Oh, no.
No, they'll put beanbag chairs on the ground and go, or sit in those.
Yeah, they're going to sell those tickets.
Yeah, they're not going to be in the sports deck anymore. Regular season game, that's an area that they can make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Those are prime seats.
So that's not going to happen. But it should be interesting to be at the new garden or the new revised garden.
Yes.
With the black seats.
I already like the concourses a lot better. It's like it's wider and roomier. They actually took down like one of the walls, and they added how many more feet? But it just feels bigger.
I don't know. He was saying like 15, 20 feet out.
Yeah,
something like that.
So they've expanded it.
This summer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The concourse, like the whole front of
it. It's not just the seats they changed. They blew up the whole thing.
How'd you see it? Wouldn't you guys?
No. As I said, I didn't go.
There's pictures of it online.
I didn't see that.
There's been a ton of articles about all the stuff they've done. And on top of that, right when you go in, there's a brand new music venue that they're opening up, which I guess opens next month. The Pixies are playing there. I think they're one of the first bands to
Kim Gordon
kick the whole thing off. Yeah. What's her name? Died. The woman who was filling in, who was awesome. She was the singer for the Muffs. You ever hear that band?
I know that was Senorita Muff.
Yes. She ended up dying yesterday, but I saw everyone talking about the Pixies. You know why she actually got kicked out of the Pixies filling in for Kim Deal? Because she jumped into the crowd and crowd surfed, and the band said the Pixies don't crowd surf.
Mm.
And they kicked her out of the band.
It's fairly humorless.
Yeah, I would think so.
But Angela Moore from Fishbone got in some legal trouble for doing that. Very litigious society that we live in now. By the way, Bird, answering the phone, not putting any information in about the call. It's frozen? Oh, well, I don't care. I wasn't going to take the call anyway. It's like waking Bird up after he saw the movie with many clowns.
So many clouds.
Bird, whose favorite part of the movie Joker was the smile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He enjoyed that. We'll play that at 7 for you. All right, Rich, what happened last evening? What are we going to talk about?
Let's talk about Stephen Gostkowski and what this team does now.
All right, we will have all that for you coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
95, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Oh, God, it's on TV now. All right, I gotta talk about this. Is it Minshew?
Yeah, Gardner Minshew. The quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, I understand he's playing well, and I understand all of that. His whole thing is reminiscent of like a hipster 10 years ago, and hearing these sports nerds talk about it, they're like, you know, look at this guy. He's got it. These are like Hootie and the Blowfish guys that were all in the video for I Only Want to Be With You.
Yeah, they're blown away by the fact that he has a mustache.
And a bandana. So Jaguars are doing this. And he's culpable in this, too, because he's a nerd that's been, that has completed this whole look that is driving me insane. It says, if join the mania with the Minshew mini pack. Purchase tickets for our games against the Saints and Jets and get bandana, mustache, on-field picture with your gear. So a bandana and a mustache is all of a sudden like super crazy.
Yeah.
Like, get a load of this guy. He's got a mustache. Yeah, so does every other a-hole for the last 3 years walking around. They're like, he wears jorts. Oh, yeah, try a little harder, a-hole. I almost said the word. Like, my God, is this the planet we're on? Do you never seen this? Have you been to a bar that it takes them 5 years to make a drink?
I just love, of all the markets that you're the most surprised, it's Jacksonville.
Yeah, like Jacksonville's blown away by like, whoa.
How about this? Jacksonville residents, look to your left, look to your right. There's somebody wearing jorts and has a mustache.
Yeah, but it's unironic, and that's apparently not fun. I mean, SportsCenter, Rich and I were talking about this off air, and then I turn on, look at SportsCenter, and they're like, who's got the best sports stash?
Yeah, I know. It's I don't, it's funny. I watch this guy play, and he's really fun to watch. He's good, and he's legitimately making. I mean, I think his completion percentage is one of the best.
His numbers
in the
are good.
Yeah, it's been really good. And as I was saying to you, Fred, if this was Baker Mayfield doing what he was doing, everyone would be like, "I told you, MVP talk. Let it start."
Right.
You know, but it's not. It's this guy, and unfortunately, it's all kind of almost being ruined by
almost
my man's got a mustache.
I hate him.
Well, did you see last week they did a little segment with him where they brought Uncle Rico to meet him from Napoleon Dynamite, and it was the actual actor who played Uncle Rico, and it was Uncle Rico and Gus Minshew.
I gotta believe that you were doubled over laughing.
I mean, it was like a chuckle fest.
That it was like Showtime at the Apollo or whatever the hell it was Def Jam Comedy Jam, and you were running up and down the aisles with your hands in the air with laughter. I mean, I hate him. I've heard him speak once, and I hate him. Dude, I got a mustache. That's the most football, like, nerd. And this is at the point where Edelman actually did something I found funny.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute because it was great. And I'm glad you and I are on the same way, like, because usually he's a douche off field, but he did one thing that was great.
Yeah, yesterday. Edelman did something funny with his entertainment. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my God, what planet are you on? Where you've never seen these people go to New York City all the time? These Sports Center people. Go to any bar where it takes 5 hours to make a drink and they have suspenders on, and you see guys with like roly-poly mustaches and everything else. Jesus, when we came here, I was a douche. In 2006, I had a stupid mustache. My God. It's like if he had a Michael Jackson glove on. Like, what is this craziness?
Well, I mean, there are some residents of Jacksonville that aren't big fans of him just coming in. I mean,
you can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
All right. If there's pictures of him banging her, I'm on board. It's going to take that to get me to like him. I don't care what he does for charity, what he does for anything.
Would you say no to that lady?
Certainly not.
I didn't think so.
He has to have consensual sex with the Jacksonville lady.
Now where are you guys going to hook up?
I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
Yeah, if they have a picture of him lounging in a beach house with the Jacksonville lady, softly snuggling and giving little love pecks, then I like it.
What are you going to do with Minshew?
Took it to the limit.
You're going to take it to the limit. I know you are.
So they're handing out fake mustaches.
I know.
And bandanas.
Yeah, you gotta stop.
Why don't you grow a mustache then? If you find the thing so fascinating. By the way, you can go to work with a mustache. If you're an accountant, you can have a mustache. I mean, what is... It's like something people have. And especially his. He has a Van Dyke. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, if you go to a barber shop and they have one of the old school, like, shaving things up, it's the Van Dyke. Mm-hmm. People actually wear them. Like, dads.
But do they have the bandanas? They don't have those.
No, because that's, like, overly trying. That's like he saw a Poison video and trying to steal Bret Michaels look, which I won't stand for. All right. That's my Minshew. I don't care for him. I might dislike him more than Baker Mayfield.
Whoa.
No. Because, I mean, Minshew's...
Don't make promises you can't keep, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, Baker's... He has not had a photo with a Jaguar with his shirt off yet. I don't mean a Jaguar the car. I mean a Jaguar.
His whole steez is coming in and trying to be, like, cool with some old-ass hipster crap.
Well, maybe I'll turn that way.
Yeah, you should.
But I know one's a better quarterback than the other.
That's right. No, I'm glad Baker Mayfield is playing as poorly as he is because I predicted that. But go ahead.
All right. Well, it looks like we finally have an answer as to why Stephen Gostkowski has been less than perfect this short season. He reportedly had been dealing with a hip injury that had become too much, and now he's opted for surgery on that left hip, and his season is done. The good news is that the surgery is not expected to be a career-ending one, and next season he's supposed to be back to normal. These hip things heal pretty easily, and you're pretty close to back to normal fairly soon. But before word of Gostkowski's condition was made public, Belichick yesterday talked to the media and was asked about a report that the team was working out kickers at the facility.
So I know you worked out some kickers. What led you to make that decision to bring some guys in?
I don't think we worked anybody out yet, Tom.
Why not?
But are you saying you're not working out kickers today?
No, the question is how we've worked them out. So I don't think we've worked any out, no.
Why bring them in for later today?
Yeah, well, look, I'm not confirming anything, denying anything. Just we haven't worked any kickers out. So that's the answer to that question.
Do you feel the need to give Stephen Guskowski competition? Do you feel confident in his performance?
Yeah, that's... I don't really think any of that's related to competition, no.
Bill, do you have any concern over how the last couple weeks have gone with the field goal kicking team?
No, I think as a team, there's a lot of things that we can do better, so we're working every area to improve. I think we can improve in all three phases of the game, and within those phases, there's a lot of things we can work on. There.
Now go home and get your shine box.
There was one moment there that was great, and it was Tommy Kern at the beginning. He goes, can you tell us about, have you worked out kickers today? And he goes, we haven't worked out anybody. And he goes, all right, there was a report that you were going to be working out. So are you going? He goes, you asked me if I've already worked out kickers. And yeah. Tommy Kerr goes,
all right.
Like sarcastically too, which I thought was pretty good. Like,
Yeah, he's finally getting ornery.
So it's the verb tense. Have worked out
he
kickers,
did,
will work out
he
kickers.
He did say something, though, that when he goes, it's not performance related. Is what he was. He said that. At least he said that, which was truthful.
Yeah. So we know that now. Obviously, he is going to be under the knife getting his surgery. Well, James White yesterday says he knows it's going to be tough out there without Guskowski.
Never want to see a guy like that go down. He's been a big part of our team ever since I've been here and even before that. So I wish that guy nothing but the best and a speedy recovery.
So if you're one of those people who is clamoring for the team to move on from Guskowski, well, you're about to get your wish. But mind you, the candidates are no great shakes. Ty Anderson actually did a really good job researching all these guys on our website. And amongst the kickers who worked out for the team yesterday were Kai Forbath. He's 32 years old. He played for the Redskins, Saints, Vikings, and Jaguars. He's a career 120 of 140 on field goals. All right. Elliott Fry, 24 years old. He spent the preseason with the Bears. Before that, he kicked for the Orlando Apollos of the now-defunct AAF. He went a perfect 14 for 14, however, as long as one came from 47.
Yep.
All right. I like the young buck. He's working his way up in the world. Mike Nugent, 37 years old.
He was picked in the second round by the Jets.
Was he really?
During the year of my bachelor party.
Yep.
Wow. Picked a kicker in the second round.
They didn't have a first-round pick. And I was just somewhat interested, so I turned on the TV to see who they picked, and they took a kicker in the second round.
Well, he's appeared in just 11 games between the Bears, Cowboys, and Raiders since the start of the 2017 season, but he's pretty good. Nailed 17 of 19 attempts, including the 6-for-6 that he did with Oakland last year before a hip injury put him on the shelf. And then there's Blair Walsh, which, 29 years old, the most famous for the guy who had one of the worst playoff misses in NFL history with a 27-yard shank in the final minute of that 2016 wildcard game against Seattle that he was playing in. And then finally, Matthew Wright, an undrafted kicker out of UCF. He's 23. He spent the 2019 preseason with the Steelers, made 5 of 6 field goal attempts, but missed one of his 4 extra point attempts. So there you go.
All right, Lockhart. You sent an email out yesterday. You don't like this one bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone should like this.
No, this is bad. I mean, it's not going to matter in the regular season. They could probably just go for 2 for the regular season. But, you know, come playoff time, you just said it, Blair Walsh. I mean, this is how you lose in the playoffs. And there's going to be times where you're probably going to be up against the Kansas City Chiefs and you're going to need 3 points. And if you miss, that could be the end of the season for you. So, yeah, this isn't good at all.
Apparently, the 2 finalists are Nugent and Forbath. Those are the 2 guys.
So
right now, they could bring in 5 more kickers today, but for right now, Nugent and Forbath are apparently the 2 favorites.
Nugent's the 37-year-old one.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Nugent is very old. Now, this Blair Walsh, is he the forgotten third child of Brenda and Brandon?
Oh, no. No, no. They only had 2.
No, but he could be the forgotten one because it's a B. They obviously were fond of the first letter of the first name being B.
It's a good point. It's a good point. He probably kicked for California University after the twins graduated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully he didn't have a meth problem. It's a lot to take on.
I agree.
Yeah. I was watching the one the other day where Tori Spelling figures out that she just starts complaining about David in the Peach Pit after dark during the radio program. And David's like, what are you doing? And she's like, watching the phone lines go crazy.
Yep.
She's like, I got it. It's like, we'll play some Jeremy Jordan.
This wasn't the show they had at California University. This was when David had his own show he hosted live from the Peach Pit after dark.
He had a hoop earring in.
That was probably the CU overnight shift.
Yeah. It was the CU overnight shift. That's but they it did it from the Peach Pit.
I thought they did it from the studio, if I remember correctly.
It looked like the Peach Pit to me, but to be honest with you, I don't know.
Okay.
They did do it for the studio for a while, but then I think that maybe they wanted to cut down on the cost of moving the...
Just film everything in the same spot.
Right.
That's a good point.
Let's just rock the pit.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Let's have the band Bare Naked Ladies come in and just rock this song, bitch. All right, Rich, what's coming up next?
Zolak and Bertrand are right in the middle of a huge feud between a media personality and a member of the Patriots.
Ooh, I like that. I don't know that story.
It's a pretty good one.
All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Now, what is this feud, Rich?
Oh, station-caused controversy. You know, once a week, Kyle Van Noy comes on the Zolak and Bertrand show. He's a great interview. If you ever hear he's going to be on, you should listen to it. And this week, he got Defensive Player of the Week, right? Didn't he win that? Yeah. Obviously, with an excellent performance in that Buffalo game. And they were talking to him, and Bertrand made a comparison, tried to say that Kyle Van Noy was similar to another certain ex-player, and Kyle Van Noy took exception to that.
You're doing the Rodney Harrison role on this team, you credit for.
Don't compare me to him, man.
Why? That's a compliment.
Compared to that guy,
really?
Yeah, no, I'm good. He.
Is there something there?
No. I have nothing against him. I just don't want to be compared. Definitely not to him.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was kind of the end of it there until the story kind of started picking up wind nationally. And Mike Florio, for some weird reason, steps in, retweets the story, and says, "Hey, Kyle, you should get on your knees every night and pray that you will become half the man Rodney Harrison is."
Half the man.
Well,
Florio does that Sunday night show with Harrison, the wrap up of the day.
Well, I'm sure Harrison is like, thank God.
Good looking out there, Florio.
But that's a connection. They know each other from that show.
I know, but it's just funny that Florio's like, step aside, I got this.
It was just weird.
I'm going to defend you.
Like, why?
Guy who's on Sunday Night Football making millions of dollars.
Like, why did he need to do that?
Just to be like, bro.
Yeah.
No one gets gets away with, getting my guy.
So Kyle Van Noy actually tweeted back and said, "Dear Mike, I'm pretty happy with the man I am, and tonight I'll pray for you instead. #blessed. And then he also had another tweet after that. He goes, "I play linebacker, so compare me to Bruv, Rabes, Ninko, Willie Mack, or Mayo. Why compare me to a safety? Or why compare anyone to anyone? All love, nothing but respect for Rodney." And what's great, too, is not only did Florio jump in to respond, to fight for some honor, then Bob Soucy says, "Oh, yeah, you want to pick on my man Kyle Van Noy?" So it's Soucy now versus Mike Florio. And Soucy writes, "Huh? The team's Ron Burton Community Service Award winner."
Oh!
Snap!
Yeah.
Snap! You throw that in his face, how are you going to react to that?
Yeah, that's... Soucy just goes, "Listen, this guy's all about community service."
And he goes, "Take a moment to research the history of this award and understand what an honor it is here. Doesn't want to be compared to someone else. How does that make him less a man?"
Yeah. So now Soucy's going to be like going in the locker room going, "Man! Hanoi. What up, dog?
KVN, what up? And now he's going to do the secret handshake.
Yeah, now everyone is.
He's going to have to get on like a stool to do it, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, listen, he's gonna, Van Noy's going to go, who's talking to me? And he's going to be looking around. He's not going to, he's going to be very confused.
Oh, but then you did have that fantastic moment that I love every week where you've got Bill Belichick, who has nothing but good things to say about the Washington Redskins quarterback, whoever that might be.
I mean, McCoy, you know, McCoy's run the offense. He's been there for 6 years, so I think we kind of know what that is. You know, Keenum's running the offense this year, so I think we've seen a lot of him. Haskins, you know, played in preseason, played a little bit, came in the second quarter, played second half last week. Would they do something different with him if he was the quarterback?
You see, everybody thinks that Bill Belichick is playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers. Jay Gruden, however, has got you figured out. He knows he's not going to show his hand on what's happening this weekend.
What's the plan at quarterback right now?
We don't have one right now. I'm going to go out here practice today. We have an individual and a little bit of work we're going to do. I'm going to see the health of the guys, first of all, see where Dwayne's at, and I'll make a decision shortly.
So you expect to make a decision today?
I don't know yet. I might just wait till Sunday at 1 o'clock and just figure it out then.
Yeah. If I'm a Redskins fan, I'm making sure to say, Washington Redskins, we don't have a plan. I mean, how great is that?
Well, because Jay Gruden doesn't care anymore, nor would I. Dan Snyder dictated him taking Haskins. He's working for one of the worst owners in sports, if not the worst owner in sports. He's obviously not going to win. So he's like, here's the pile of crap you handed me.
Okay.
Have fun.
Snyder bought the team 20 years ago, I think, 1999. And Washington has three seasons in those 20 that they've won 10 games.
Okay. So
never more than 10. Only 10.
Did they make? They made the playoffs with RG3 one
year.
They
made the playoffs.
Yep,
four,
that was Shanahan.
They've made the playoffs four times in his 20 years, I believe.
Now, so Bruce Allen is their GM?
Now.
Yeah. And so he also is a puppet for Dan Snyder. So Jay Gruden had to say there's 32 jobs. I got to take one. And I think Snyder was afraid to fire him because he's fired so many coaches.
He also made a lot. I mean, it's tough to say no to that kind of money. I think Jay Gruden got paid well.
Well, yeah, okay. He should. I mean, he's an NFL coach, but, I mean, he's obviously not happy with his situation.
Can I just hear the very beginning of this call one more time?
What's the plan at quarterback right now?
We don't have one right now. I'm going to go out here.
We don't really have a plan. Just, yep. We're going to wing it the entire way.
I would do the same thing if I was him. I'd be like, I don't know. It's all crap. Throw it in a bucket and see what slop we come up with.
Crap A, crap B, or crap C.
Five times. We're getting our ass kicked.
Yeah,
made the playoffs five times. Let me see how many. I'm going to count up the head coaches here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
wow.
8,
Since
9.
99?
9 head coaches in 20 years.
Yeah.
And Gruden's been there. This is his sixth season.
Yeah, and there's talk that the only reason he's still a coach is because Snyder didn't want to continue firing a coach every season.
Mm-hmm. Remember Steve Spurrier was there for a couple of years?
Yeah. And
Jim Zorn was there for a couple of years.
The best thing about Spurrier is when Spurrier came there, he's like, you know, I hear all this stuff about coaches sleeping at the facility. He's like, I can tell you right now, I'm not doing it.
What was that interview like? When he sat down with Snyder, you know, I'm not going to be here very much. I'm not sleeping here. You know, this is a 9-to-5 job for me.
Yeah.
You're hired.
Yeah. I loved it. Spurrier's like, listen, in college, everyone does everything for me. So I'll sit here. All right, Rich, what else do we have coming up?
Well, there is speculation about a superstar receiver once again possibly coming to the Patriots. And as much as we tool on Julian Edelman, he did something kind of awesome yesterday.
He actually finally had a good story. Finally. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it all started a few days ago when the Vikings lost another game, and Stefon Diggs afterwards just tweeted an emoji that looked like a surprise face going, ooh, and immediately people are like, okay, Stefon Diggs wants out. Let's see who we can, what we can do. And nowadays, it doesn't seem too far-fetched that somebody can shoot themselves off of a team, although we're still waiting for Jalen Ramsey to not be a member of the Jaguars anymore. That kind of stalled. But there was a report that came out yesterday that the Vikings had lifted Stefon Diggs as having missed practice for non-injury reasons. No other explanation was yet made available, adding more fuel to the fire. And so, of course, Patriots fans immediately start going, hey, we got to get this guy, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, who wouldn't want to play for the Patriots if you're him? However, there was another report that came out yesterday. John, you were just telling me about Josina Anderson.
Yeah, tweeted out about 10:30, 11 o'clock last night that she had spoken to another team that was interested in trading for Stefon Diggs, and that team had been told that the Vikings were not going to trade him.
Okay, yeah, so, that was being reported pretty much all afternoon.
But the one thing that I find interesting from that story is that it's serious enough to where other teams have actually reached out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they might make a trade with him. At least other teams don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. No.
What happened is they saw the Stefon Diggs tweet. They contacted the team and said, is anything going on? Are you looking to unload him?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, but it doesn't mean that it's that it's a possibility. It's just, you know, due diligence. I mean, it doesn't mean there was any kind of serious trade talk. It just means a team that maybe wanted a receiver was doing their due diligence and seeing what was happening.
I also want to tell you, Diggs' cap number is massive.
Yeah, he just signed a huge deal.
His cap number this year is 12.5. I mean, look, you can maneuver the cap around all you want. Patriots have to clear, what, $7 million, $8 million, whatever it is. You have the Antonio Brown $5 million just sitting there because of that signing bonus you're probably not going to get back. So I don't know if they can't afford that. They can't afford that.
I'm sure they could find a way to do it, but it doesn't. I mean, if you're the Vikings, you're 2-2. You're just going to give up on the season right now?
I read like a couple articles with these capologists, which, by the way, just you immediately bail out when you see too many numbers. But the one thing that they were saying is, like you were discussing, Fred, there is a way, but you would really have to stretch yourself extremely thin, and you would have to also do something with Hightower's contract. I mean, it's you would have to do a lot of manipulation.
Right.
Would it be worth it? Probably. I mean, the guy's like wildly talented.
It's just he's on a team that they can't give up.
They can't tell how talented he is this year.
Well, the thing is they gave if you're the Vikings, you've had success 2 years ago. You've given a quarterback what was it, guaranteed like $5 billion, and then you've signed this receiver to this huge deal. You're 2-2. I mean, you can't go ahead and trade a guy trade one of your receivers right now.
It's amazing, and we've talked about this off the air, how much money the Vikings have thrown at Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, and this guy, and they're one of the three worst passing offenses in the NFL. How does that happen?
Well, did you hear about...
Dalvin Cook isn't bad at running back either. I don't know how you stutter as much as they do on offense.
So when you're saying that it's the offense is bad, I mean, this weekend, Adam Thielen, I think, had 2 receptions for 6 yards.
Yeah.
And after the game, Thielen was really trying not to say anything bad about Kirk Cousins. It was one of those things where he was being very measured, slow with his responses. And so Kirk Cousins was on this podcast, and he said, I want to really apologize to Adam Thielen because there's too many opportunities where he could have hit him on Sunday. And post-game, when I talk to the media, I always say, until I watch the film, it's hard for me to give you a straight answer. Well, it's Tuesday night. I've watched the film, and the reality is there were opportunities for him. So he's, like, apologizing in public to his receivers.
He should. Yeah. He's been awful.
I mean,
all that money. I think it was $84 million. I haven't looked, but if I remember correctly, $84 million guaranteed when they signed this guy.
I didn't even think it was that bad of a sign.
Wasn't bad with the Redskins.
He's one of those guys that was like a fantasy football machine. Like, he completed a ton of passes. You know, he would find a way to not win the big game. You know, he didn't have that clutch gene, but he was always racking up regular season numbers. And in this league where, you know, it's tough to find a guy that, you know, can actually be mediocre at quarterback. I didn't think it was a bad signing at the time. And then money is the money. That's how much it costs for a guy like that right now.
Well, listen, the Jets wanted him, and the Vikings, he chose the Vikings. So finally fate smiles upon someone.
Now let's get to Julian Edelman doing something that I found very entertaining. So he posted yesterday something that made the cutting room floor for his 100% documentary. And I hear this and I'm like, dude, your documentary wasn't even that good. You should have put this in it. This would have been probably the best part of it.
Right.
And Julian Edelman tells a story about how, I think it was like in his fifth or sixth year, he went over to the training facility over. He was in the weight room. He was walking around the weight room and came in and saw Bill Belichick by himself at like 11 o'clock at night on the treadmill and going over game film and making notes. And then afterwards, he went to go into the bathroom, and here's what happened.
You know, I go somewhere in the facility, and I just so happened to walk by the hot tub. And coach is in the hot tub. Like, obviously I came in the room to go in the hot tub, but then we made eye contact and my natural instinct was to like turn around and like I was gonna leave. But then I saw that he saw that I was in there, and then he got up and got out, and real, real big party foul by a coach. I mean, we're supposed to have shorts on. Supposed to have shorts. But I guess at 11 o'clock when you're the goat of coaching, you go wherever you want, free ball. So I had to hide my absolute face of terror after seeing what I saw and sit in the hot tub.
So he thought he was there by himself in the facility, because the way that Edelman described it leading up to that was no one else seemed to be there. Like, all the lights were pretty much off in the workout room.
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock at night.
And he just goes, you know what? I'm going to the hot tub and I'm going completely nude.
Yeah. Belichick just, and then he saw the big Superman tattoo.
I was about to say, was there a slippery when wet tramp stamp?
I was just
going
to say Bon Jovi. That's
I mean, he can, well, the Superman tattoo is Bon Jovi, yeah. Loser.
Sorry.
I mean, that's the famous worst tattoo of all time on John Bon Jovi's arm. But I mean, can you just imagine Belichick comes out like his balls are down to his knees?
It's just like, all right, can you imagine that? Him just like walking out there, and and he's right. If you lock eyes, it's not like you can just like walk away. You can't do it. He knows you're there. So you just got to kind of say, hey, what's up, coach? Womp, 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 womp.
Now it's like that he's getting in, so Belichick's just like, I'll get out.
And you know he's the old man in the locker room who refuses to put his pants on.
He's the boss. Somewhere Ernie Adams is...
Imagine the two of them, like, at 11 o'clock at night, just hanging out in the hot tub.
Ernie Adams is in an air duck, just looking down nude.
Right, he's got all the inside angles.
Yeah.
You know, but he's always up to shenanigans. Oh, he's always the one, you know, spying on the other teams. It's the locker room to say,
oh, my Ernie goodness. Adams!
Paul Stanley, I don't know. Are you related to Ernie Adams?
I don't know. We got some of the same fetishes.
I guess you do. Now, but you like to hide in the hamper, Paul Stanley.
Better check. Put your pants on. Here comes Edelman.
Okay.
Talk about coming in with a Slim Jim and leaving with the T-bone.
By the way, Paul Stanley, did you see what he put up yesterday?
No, how did I miss it?
He goes, I can't tell you how many times I watched this. And it's a girl on a roller coaster who has no bra on, whose sundress keeps coming undone. And guess who he retweeted it from? You'll never guess.
I just saw it. David Coverdale.
Hey, I can't tell you how many times I watch this nun. I love boobs.
I'm not interested at all in the rider on the left. But the one on the right, A-OK.
Look at him. He don't like them boobies either.
It's just like, wow, Paul Stanley, the voyeur.
Well, listen. So he said, no Deflategate in the tub.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, that could be a hairy situation. If anyone knows how to get free movies, let me know, because I'd like to see the Joker, but I have no intention of sitting in a theater. Just let me know. I used to have a site that I could go to.
Yeah.
That had everything. And you didn't have to download them. You could stream them.
By the way, I'm just now noticing that Scott Zolak had himself a Peter Gammons moment.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that last night.
11 o'clock last night.
I saw that.
He tweeted, C, ampersand, C-C-L-U-B, P-S-D-R-T. That Kerb's Club.
All right. We'll find out how Bird enjoyed the movie Joker. No commercials here, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.